Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
All right, we are kicking off our blockbuster summer series with the instant classic, Encanto. So, you know, I liked the movie. I enjoyed it. I think the storyline was okay. Of course, all the kids love it, but I especially enjoy the fact that it was such a great depiction of a Spanish family, right? And they got the culture right. I read an article about how much time and money they spent to really make sure that it was sensitive and to the culture. And so you could really tell that. And I think all of my Latinos that I've spoken to also feel the same way. And also, I mean, let's be real. What we love about it is the soundtrack. You know, Lin-Manuel, once again, that brother got the Midas touch. Everything he touches turns to gold, and he killed it. He killed this soundtrack. You know, we don't talk about Bruno. No. I mean, that thing shot up the charts. Overtook Frozen. And let me tell you, I was a young dad when the first Frozen came out, and it was a hit. Let It Go, it was crazy. But the fact that We Don't Talk About Bruno surpassed that, it just tells you that the song, but also what the song is about, really resonated with everybody, especially with our children. So that's what I have to say about the movie. We know what the movie is about. Hopefully you've watched it by now. If not, check it out. Spoiler alert. It's about a family that goes through some tragedy, but gets a miracle. They get a miracle. And the miracle is that the mother, her children, her triplets get miraculous gifts. And so they get those gifts, and then their grandkids, her grandkids gets gifts as well. But then there's one, Mirabel, who doesn't get a gift. And so it's kind of her coming to age story of how she manages that and how she helps the family. Even though she's the one without the miraculous gift, she's actually the one that is able to help the family overcome some real challenges relationally in their lives. And personally as well for each individual family member. We had a little fun at my house this week because in our in-person service, we are doing this as a family. It's a kids service. We're getting the kids involved. So I've been sermon prepping with my family all week. My wife and my ladies will join me up on stage, and we're going to be talking about the lessons that we learned from Encanto. I'll share that with you today, even though they're not able to join me for the virtual path service. But I'm going to share with you some of the things that we discussed. Okay. One of the things was we just talked about, hey, what character are you most like in Encanto? What character are you most like? So you can let us know that in the chat. Let us know who do you relate to the most, or who's your favorite character. Just let us know in the chat. And so for my family, Layla, my just newly turned 11 years old, says she is Dolores because Dolores is able to hear everybody's conversation. She says she could be nosy like that. I said, okay, that's cool. Arya said that she is Isabella, the graceful one. And, you know, that's Arya. Christina, my wife, said that she's the mom. She's the mom that heals people. Actually, the girl said, that's you, mom. You're the mom that heals people. And because when we get sick, you heal us. You take care of us. And she was like, oh, that's so special. And then I'm like, okay, well, who am I? Oh, you're the dad. Well, the dad doesn't have any gifts. I'm like, what? They're like, that's okay, daddy. We love you. We got your back. I'm like, okay, amen. So we had a little fun with it. You know, we talked about what songs were their favorite. And of course, we talked about Bruno, we don't talk about Bruno, and we talked about surface pressure. And so that's how I'm going to set up my sermon today. We're going to look at these two songs and see what lessons we can get from these songs and what they tell us about what the character is going through and what the family dynamics were within those characters and their situations and their relationships, okay? So the first one we're going to talk about is surface pressure. If you remember this one, this is the one, Luisa, who is the strong one, right? Before I tell you anything else, I'll let you watch it for yourself.
Why would anything be wrong? I'm totally fine. The magic's fine. Luisa's fine. I'm totally not nervous.
Your eyes doing the thing.
I'm the strong one. I'm not nervous. I'm as tough as the crust of the earth is.
Okay.
I move mountains, I move churches, and I glow because I know what my worth is.
Of course, I mean, hey, where are you going?
I don't ask how hard the work is. Got a rough, indestructible surface. Diamonds and platinum, I find them, I flatten them. I take what I'm handed, I break what's demanded. But under the surface, I feel berserk as a tightrope walker in a three-ring circus. Under the surface, was Hercules ever like, yo, I don't want to fight Cerberus? Under the surface, I'm pretty sure I'm worthless if I can be of service. A flaw or crack, the straw in the stack that breaks the camel's back. What breaks the camel's back? It's fresh like a drip, drip, drip that'll never stop. Whoa. Pressure that'll tip, tip, tip till you just go pop. Whoa. Give it to your sister, your sister's older. Give her all the heavy things we can't shoulder. Who am I if I can't run with the ball? If I fall too.
I think so many people can relate to this song, especially now in this day and age. Both men and women can constantly feel that pressure to fulfill the expectations that either others set on us or that we give ourselves, right? And it's like a drip, drip, drip that never stops, right? That you always feel like I have to achieve something else or I have to take care of somebody else. And I can really relate to this because I know as the oldest son with three boys, growing up in a mostly single family, single mom household, I felt that pressure growing up. And so I can relate to that need to be strong. I have to be strong for my brothers. I have to be strong for my mother. That continued to create in me an identity about being strong, right? That I can't be weak. I don't have time to struggle. I need to solve problems. And so often life can, for me, can just be about, okay, we'll just solve the next problem. We'll get through this. And so I've had to really learn what it's like to be okay being weak, because that is a challenge for me and for many of us when it feels like society needs us to be strong. Somebody has to be strong. And that created in me really an attitude of independence, right? Just being super independent. Like, hey, I will get things done no matter what happens in my life because I got to make it through. And so I feel the pressure. I mean, in that song you heard, I lift churches, you know, as a pastor, I can relate to that. Like I can feel the churches, the weight, the burden of the church on my shoulders. That could be tough. The burden and the weight of the people, the burden and the weight of the families, getting the phone calls that are hard to get about somebody passing away or being ill, going through the deepest, darkest times in their lives. And it's so hard not to take on that pressure, but to let it go and give it back to God. So that's for me. There's a part later on in that song where she starts daydreaming. She's like, but wait, if I could shake the crushing weight of expectation. And she says, would that free some room up for joy or relaxation or simple pleasure? Instead, we measure this growing pressure. Pressure keeps growing and it keeps going because all we know is pressure like drip, drip, drip. And so anybody that struggles with the weight of expectations, the pressure that we feel, we also can understand this daydreaming piece, right? This piece of, oh, if only I could, you know, take this burden off, then I would be able to enjoy my life a little bit more. I would be able to relax. I would be able to experience different pleasure. So we know that daydream may be if. Now, the cool thing about it is that Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So for us as Christians, when we're connected and committed to Jesus, we actually have an opportunity to give that to him. We actually have an opportunity to experience joy and rest and relaxation and the simple pleasures of life. Because God is like, I got this. I got you. You don't have to do this by yourself. All right. So I want to ask you the question. I want you to fill in the blank. The biggest pressure I feel is the pressure to what? The biggest pressure I feel is the pressure to blank. What is it for you? I think it's important to identify those pressures so that we can give those to God and not be so broad and, God, I just feel pressured. I feel stressed or I feel anxious. No. What are those things? I think the first thing we need to do is identify those pressures that we feel. I asked my ladies at home, what were those pressures? And I asked them about this song. And Layla, she's going to be sharing this in person, like I said, so she's fine with me sharing this with you all. She said a lot of people feel the pressure to be perfect. Even her, she's going into sixth grade now, going into middle school. She said, you don't have to be perfect. You just need to be you. And so she's wrestling with that, what it means to just be her, because sometimes it feels like for her, people are counting on her to do well, to get good grades, to grow. And we're like, well, who are you talking about? You know, it's us. I mean, you know, I'm sure it's us. It's teachers. Even with her friends, she feels the pressure to fit in, to be cool. And sometimes she feels like, man, wow, I don't know if I'm good enough for my friends because they're so different. I feel like maybe she's not cool enough for them. And you know, she said it's not like they make her feel that way, but it's internal pressures. And that's so real. That's what happens with us. We have those internal pressures. Sometimes nobody else is really at fault, except it's in us. It's in our DNA. Aria is so cute. My 7-year-old, she said, well, she feels the pressure of doing all the chores because her mom and grandmother are making her do all the chores and she never gets a break. And, you know, she can feel like her abuela doesn't love her if she doesn't perform. And she also said it's just that she wants the village to be proud of her. And I said, that is so good, Aria. We feel the pressure to perform, to do our duties well, you know, and to make people proud. Those are innate pressures that we feel. My wife shared the pressures that she feels in her daily life is just to take care of everybody, to be a great mom and a great wife and to solve all the problems. And that's what it feels like sometimes. That's her main job, is just to solve everybody's problems. You see, the point is that we all have pressures. We all have these expectations that we feel, right? And we identify with those things and we build our identity around those things. And when we're not able to perform or to produce or to get that promotion, then it can really shatter us internally. And that's what happened with Louisa when she felt her powers waning. She started crying because she's like, I can't do what I am so used to being able to do. But I think in that process, she was able to learn that she's much more than what she's able to do, right? She is loved. She was loved by her family. And for us, we're all loved by God. And we have people that love us regardless of what we can accomplish or not. I try to tell my friends and family that. I try to tell my children and my wife that as much as possible. I love you for you, regardless of what you do for me or what you do in this world. Like, nothing can change that love I have for you. It's not tied into those things. And if I can feel that way, I know God feels that way. What's happening under the surface? She says, hey, on the outside, she's strong, she's powerful, she can do all these things. People look up to her, rely on her, but under the surface. And so my question to you is, what's happening under the surface? Yeah, we can put up the facade. We can put out the IG posts. We can act a certain way around people. But what's under the surface? Have you taken time out to understand what's going on first and foremost, right? Identify those things, but then give them to God. I recently have been studying out Psalm 23 because I was on a prayer walk and telling God about my pressures and telling God about the challenges that I'm facing and the things I'm feeling, and the Spirit just put it on my heart. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to quiet waters. He restores my soul. And that really stuck out to me out of Psalm 23, because that's what I feel like I need right now. I just need restoration of my soul, to be restored, to be. There's also in different translations, it talks about our soul being refreshed and our soul being renewed. And I'm like, I need restore, renewed, refresh. I need all of that. And usually I can get that as I go on vacation, take some time away, be with God by the water. And really what I need right now is just to, man, just reconnect with my purpose, my mission, my calling, and recommit to that and be ready for what ever God's plan is for me in my life and for us as a church as we move forward for this latter half of 2022. But I need that refreshment. Later on, it says in verse 6, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I love that because I've been studying out God's goodness, and I had forgot about that part in Psalm 23. So when I read it, I got a little emotional. It hit me. It like the Spirit just hit me, like his goodness and his love will follow us. And I think that's so important to know, that as we go, he's following us. He's chasing after us. And I was like, man, isn't it supposed to be the other way around? Like, aren't we supposed to be following his love, his goodness, following Jesus? That's what a disciple is all about. But no, David had a deep conviction that God's love and his goodness was chasing after him. And that made sense to me. Why? Because we stray. Because sometimes we walk away. Sometimes we go in the wrong direction. We take the wrong path, and God's goodness is still chasing after us. It's like he's not going to let us go. And I just needed to hear that. And I hope that that's helpful to you as well. I know somebody out there needs to hear that as well, that no matter where you're going, no matter what direction you're taking, God's love and his goodness, his kindness, his generosity, his grace, his mercy, his love is chasing after you. And he's not going to quit because he doesn't get tired. He doesn't grow weary. He doesn't stumble. You can't lose him. You're not going to be able to hide from him. God knows where you are and he loves you. So I think that's important for us to know as we think about our lives. We think about how much God does not give up on us. And even in those moments where we feel all this pressure, when we even handle it in a way that's not right, in a way that is not righteous, in ways that are sinful or even self-destructive, because we all have those ways that are tempting to handle our stress. Even when we do that and we take the wrong path, God's love and his goodness is still chasing us. And our goal is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can rest in him, in his presence, or there won't be any of those pressures, those expectations, as we spend our life with him in eternity. All right. So that's the first one. The first song was Surface Pressure. The second one, of course, is We Don't Talk About Bruno. No, no, no. Check it out.
What if you didn't understand what he saw?
Then you better figure it out, because it was coming for you.
We don't talk about Bruno. No, no, no. We don't talk about Bruno. Bruno says it looks like rain.
Why did he tell us?
In doing so, he floods my brain.
Abuela gets the umbrella.
Married in a hurricane.
We don't take some time to talk about Bruno, okay? We're going to talk about Bruno because there's some lessons in this story about Bruno. He is the outcast of the family. All families, it feels like, has that outcast, the character that's a little bit more eccentric than everybody else and that gets shunned, that we gossip about, that we make up folks' tales about, myths about, that their persona even becomes a little bigger than who they actually are. And it was so cool that they highlighted Bruno because that's the reality of family dynamics. But actually, Bruno had a lot of good qualities in him. And we learned some lessons about him because when I asked the girls what they thought about this song and they thought about Bruno, Layla said, well, we can't judge a book by its cover. And the reason she said that is because people made assumptions about Bruno and his intentions without really understanding. When Mirabel found Bruno, he wasn't in his tower. He was in the house behind the walls. He was actually fixing the cracks because the house was breaking down. And so he was back there. He had his own little world where he would try to stay connected to the family behind the scenes. He wanted to be close to them, and he was still serving the family. And so while they thought he had ill will towards them and that his visions, his prophecies were actually him causing those bad things to happen, it was the opposite. He was actually just trying to help them know what was coming and warn them, which leads us to the next thing that we learned, which Arya said, is like, hey, it's just because somebody warns us about something or tells us the truth, we shouldn't get mad about that. And I just love hearing what the kids get from these movies, because it's so true. You know, the person who tells the truth is usually the bad person, the bad guy in a situation. It's so much easier just to say what people want to hear. And yet we know that Jesus himself is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. The scriptures say in John 14 that nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus. Like, that is the reality of it. You can't come to the Father, to God, the one and only God, through other religions, through being good enough, right? We can't make up our own way. There's not many paths to heaven. We all serve the same God. We don't all serve the same God. The God that Christians serve is a God that says, you got to go through my son, Jesus, who was my son, who it was me in the flesh. And that's the truth of the matter. And as Christians, we got to stand on truth. The word of God is truth. And not only do we need to stand on truth, we need to be able to accurately teach the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. We have to be able to wrestle with the scriptures. We got to be able to wrestle with the things that it's okay to question, but we got to strive to get some of those answers. There will be some answers that God will give us. There will be some questions we'll never get the answers to, and we'll just trust God in that. I don't want a God that can answer all my questions. I don't want a God that I can figure out. I don't want a God like me. I want a God with some mystery. I want a God that is beyond my thinking. I want a God who creates truth. Our God created truth, and so he can stand on truth. He can stand on his promises. And as Christians, we don't have to shy away from that. We don't need to be abrasive or rude or disrespectful in any way, but we don't have to shrink back from God's truth. God's truth about how we should live our lives. God's truth about a man and a woman and marriage in the confines of God's plan for us. We don't have to shy away from his truth on sexual ethic, his truth on being compassionate and on social justice, on loving our neighbor and serving them. We don't have to shrink back from those things. We don't have to get our cues from the world, from the left or the right. We just got to stand dependent on God's word and let God's word do its thing as we strive to become like Jesus. It's important for us to be able to correctly explain the word of truth. And I want to challenge our parents out there to make sure that we know how to do that and how we know how to do that in helping our children understand truth. They need to know there is a foundation. They need to know there is right and there is wrong. And there's maybe in some situations, a lot of nuance, a lot of ways to think about it, but they need to have the foundation of what is right and what is wrong. And it's up to us as parents to be able to correctly handle the word of truth. Parents, do you trust the Bible? Do you stand on the scriptures? Children, ask your parents as they tell you what you should be doing or how you should be doing it. Ask them, Mom, Dad, can you show me that in the scriptures? So that it goes beyond what our parents think, what other people think. And for our children, you want to get that from God himself. You want to be able to go right to the source, the author and perfecter of our faith, the creator of us, of this world, and of truth. All right? So let's make sure we can, we know there's truth. We can't get mad at the messenger because of the message, right? And let's make sure we correctly handle the word of truth. We have to be able to trust the truth beyond our own opinions, our own feelings, our own sentimentality, even our own experiences. God's truth is true. And we can get so much security and comfort from that. Now, when it comes to Jesus, much like Bruno, you know, it says that a prophet is without honor in his hometown. And that's what happened to Jesus. He came home to the world that he created. He spoke truth to us and we rejected it. And still to this day, we continue to reject it, which led to him going up on the cross to die for the very people that rejected him, me, you. But that's what we get to celebrate today. We get to celebrate somebody who decided, you know what? I'm going to live by this truth. I'm going to die by this truth. And this truth is what's going to help me resurrect to new life so that you can live and die and resurrect in truth. That's what we're going to do now. We're going to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection as we take communion. Get you a little cracker, a piece of bread, something that will represent the body of Christ. Get you some grape juice, a little wine, whatever it may be to represent the blood of Jesus, so that we can take communion with him now and thank him. Thank him for telling us the truth, even when it hurts, knowing that that's the best thing for us. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for being truth. Thank you so much that we don't have to constantly be tossed by different teachings and the culture, God, that we have. We're able to trust in you, trust in your promises, trust in your ways, trust in your plan for our lives, because you created truth. You created us. You know what's best for us. And we're so grateful, God, that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, to resurrect to new life so that we can have a relationship with you. And through our pressures and our stressors and our anxiety, that we have you to give those things to give away our burdens, because you care for us. You want to carry those with us and for us and help us to make it all the way to heaven. So we love you. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.